Been reading a book on viruses, and I always keep thinking about how you use the model of the virus as a metaphor for evil, especially when the book goes into detailed clinical description of how viruses work, how they exist in this strange state between life and non-life. It's a brilliant metaphor, and ever since you passed that viewpoint on to me, I have never seen good and evil as two ends of the same spectrum since. And this seems to be a very common belief among people, that good and evil somehow define or balance each other, not that evil is parasitic of good, but the parasitic model fits reality so much better in my experience. I have gotten into many a pseudo-philosophic debate with my friends in an attempt to convince them that good can exist without evil, but sometimes, no matter how strong my arguments are, people have a very hard time letting go of this yin-yang, mutually independent idea of good and evil. I suspect some of you have been on the other end of that argument at late nights with her, because she stayed like a bulldog after that with us all. I wish I could learn to argue it more eloquently, but I'm always surprised at how strongly people hold on to this notion. I wish I could give people this perspective, because it was such an eye-opener when you gave it to me. It was a beautiful, beautiful truth for her, and it gave her tremendous release in certain aspects of her life. Her heart, as you would be very much aware as we are, was a thankful heart. One of the basic means is for reaching up to touch God and for reaching out to welcome others into your life, of course, is thanks. This past Christmas, she wrote me in a present she made for me, a photo album of the pictures that of she and I together. Said on the front page, it said, "Father, Dad, Daddy, teacher, and friend. Of all the lives I could have grown up inside, I thank God with every breath that it was yours." She really thanked God, or was she just playing to the day? Absolutely. She told me she prayed daily to the Lord in the same childlike way I do. Face up, pacing around, honest-hearted, no ritual, no holy gestures, no sacred postures, no canned formula. Just a heart that told her Heavenly Father what was on her mind and heart. As she learned more about the beauty of God's life and creation, she shared many of her discoveries with you and with us. More than once, she had one or two of you over to our home, and in the wee hours of the morning, our discussions on God, history, evil, the future flowed like water. Her perspectives encouraged many and challenged many to see the bigger picture and this optimism of which Hannah spoke. I found a letter from someone written to her during the last couple of weeks in San Francisco. Here's an excerpt. "To Brit, so dear and sweet, you've brought confusion and clarity into my life in a way few could be capable of. Your presence in my life has made such a positive impact, enlightening and changing the way I think about events or problems that daily trouble my mind. Unknowingly, you've eased my tension, lessened my pain, and added clarity into my emotions. Friend, I thank you." Her faith, like all of those in our family, was semi-traditional. Of course, it was anchored in the same history and resurrection of Jesus that caused her birth, but it didn't take on conventional forms. Our Easter mornings and our Christmas mornings as a little family began with an hour or two or three of learning about the historical and philosophical backgrounds of the relevant sections of the Bible. Many were her questions, intense were her intention, and deep was her appreciation for the perspective gained. I remember so vividly one remark she made last semester after coming home from some college class. She spoke about the sadness she had when some of the material in class seemed antagonistic to what she called the beliefs she loved so much. We had endless discussions on endless topics with only the animation that you know Brit had. As I am sure many of you know, and can probably even envision these arguments, ranging from methods in the social sciences, the armchair psychology thing, to the heart and passion of God for life and beauty. And just like me, she had her moral inconsistencies. And just like me, she had her theological quirks. Just like me, she had her doubts. Just like me, she had her pulls toward the destructive. And just like me, she had her irrational fears. But in one of the last writings we have of her before she went home to be with her God and dance before him, She still manifests the resilience of this worldview and of her passion for finding the good before her. She wrote, "You don't have to do anything if you don't want to, if you don't feel that it's worth it. It's just a window in the infinite universe that gives you a sporting chance at finding the very treasures and fruits of all that has ever been and that all will ever be. Through this journey, through this window, your soul has the chance to become more like God, to be crowned a high priestess, warrior, princess." Some of you will recognize the battle angel imagery from that. "You can be still and apathetic, dim and tired, and sit by the side. Or you can become a child and run into the forest, sweat, strain, and push through the rough parts, not out of toughness, but out of passion for the rewards and sweetness hidden on the path. To love the sweet and exquisite so fully that it overshadows the pain and sadness is to become closer to God, to become more fitted to the universe." She was no stranger to pain, but saw the opportunity it presented. She wrote, "Pain is a lesson that will lead you to better things than you ever dreamed if you so choose to learn it." She was beset by many foes, some from the culture, some from within, some from us here today, and some of her own making. But that eternal spark and eternal faith buried deep in her heart, the wellspring of her life, could not be suppressed. It erupted constantly in her laughter, in late-night discussions with all of us, in how she dealt with doubt and fears, and even in the fearlessness with which she often faced new and dangerous experiences. She helped many of us here today to see the beauty of the created order as a clue to the deeper issues and the mystical issues behind it. And that relationship with God also worked in her heart to always bring her back to the beauty of her worldview at times. The night before she was admitted to the emergency room, she called me from San Francisco where she was staying. She told me in her precious, dear, and honest and clear voice that she had gotten, quote, "a little messed up," close quote, in the past few weeks, and asked me to come get her and to bring her home where it was safe. And in her face and bright eyes and effervescent smiles and long, warm hugs those few hours, though she called me an angel of mercy and rescue, I saw the angelic fire in her eyes and her heart that I have always known as Brit. And she said that home had never felt so safe as that night. To me, her father, she has been many, many things, and God has changed my life many ways through her. She was a constant source of joy, warmth, pride, friendship, deep friendship, laughter, innovation, creativity, and comfort in the context of my own personal limitations and challenges. I too learned from her perspectives, and I grew from our discussions. She loved me while on earth, really, really loved me. And I have been helped by God to be able to feel that warmth, see that glow, and hear that music we all know is Brit. The second 25 years of my life have been spent getting to know my tender-hearted Lord and Brit, along with my other amazing and precious God-given children, has been a constant reminder that my God brings truly good things into my life. As her father, I will not settle for less than to hold her in my arms again, in larger-than-life emotions and vividness and intensity. I expect her resurrection and my resurrection in that future, and my confidence that this hope is well-founded is anchored in history, at the empty tomb and bodily resurrection and visible appearances of this Jesus of Nazareth. I have every reason, as the skeptic that I am too, to place my confidence in this unique one in history, this gentle shepherd who conquered death and promises us his little lambs, confused and undisciplined and bouncing around and always running away from the shepherd, that he can and will do the same for us. I am exceedingly grateful for having had such intimacy with such concentrated Britness for 2 decades. And I look forward to seeing her again and for her comments on how I live the rest of my life from today, because she will be my best critic, I'm sure. May we all learn from her perspective and her inner love for the Lord, and from her example of warmth, inclusion, and devotion to her friends, being a little more like God was her phrase. And may we ever reach up to touch God's hand of life in His Son. And I thank all of you for the parts that you played, the richness and the individual perspectives that you brought to my precious daughter, because she passed that on and it became part of who she was.